This is the station for the fans of the home teams. Bruins 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Aaron Hernandez, but it looks like he's having a hard time getting anywhere. It sounds like we can check in now with Steve Cooper. He's the one in the white shirt there. So, Cooper, I know you're standing right there with Aaron Hernandez. What can you tell us?
Basically, I can tell you that he left the stadium just a couple of minutes ago, and he pulled into this Gulf gas station here. And as you now see, it's his Audi SUV. And he filled up, he put the nozzle into his gas tank, and he started to fill up. He went inside. And just as he was getting into his car, I tried to ask him a question. He shut the door, and now he's sitting. And so, okay, hey, Aaron, can you just ask him? Can you just tell us something? Are you already involved in?
Well, clearly our audio isn't too clear, but you can just see a horde of media there surrounding the Pats tight end as he gets into his SUV and drives away.
Steve Cooper, Johnny on the Spot again, earning every accolade that he ever could get. Piece of garbage. Be listening tomorrow morning for your chance to score a private suite, you and 17 of your friends. You know what's sad is I couldn't fill the suite.
I was thinking about that. I was like, the person who gets this, will they be able to get 17 friends?
I don't have 17 friends. For the Celtics Magic game this in the world, the Celtics Magic game this Monday, October 22nd, to be a part of the best home court advantage in the NBA, secure your tickets by visiting Celtics.com/tickets. That's coming up tomorrow morning.
Are we telling everyone how you get those yet?
We are not.
Okay. So tomorrow morning, once again, a full suite to a Celtics game we're giving away, so make sure to listen.
All right. Rich, there is a spotlight journalist.
It's like a feature that the Globe has been doing. And when I saw on Aaron Hernandez, when I saw that this was coming out, I was like, why are they doing this now? It's like a little late. I mean, I think we kind of know everything we've needed to know about Aaron Hernandez. And after actually looking into it, this is pretty damn good. Like, they went back and they got all this audio from the prison phone calls that he made. I think they had like over 300 calls worth of audio. They went and they interviewed tons of people from his life, including not only people he grew up with, but also people that he played with on the Patriots and also at Florida. And it's fascinating, especially now, because there are certain people who, while the whole trial was going on, I don't think felt safe talking about the experiences they had with Aaron Hernandez. And now, of course, that he's gone, everyone's seemed to have opened up. Now, let's get to this is from like the beginning of this research. They talked to Brandon Lloyd. Now, Brandon Lloyd played with Aaron Hernandez. I think it was Aaron Hernandez's third year when he was on the Patriots. And Brandon Lloyd sat down with the people at the Globe, and dude's got some stories about Aaron Hernandez. And this is stuff I hadn't heard any of this. So Brandon Lloyd was talking about the first time he had been warned about what type of guy Aaron Hernandez was, and it was Wes Welker who told Brandon Lloyd his first impression of what he thought of Aaron.
Brandon Lloyd, who joined the Patriots at the start of Hernandez's third season, learned about his disturbing behavior right away.
I was warned by Wes Welker the first day of school, walking into the locker room, walking to my locker, and he stops me and kind of touches me on my shoulders, and he's looking at me wide-eyed in my face, and he says, "Your locker is in between Gronkowski and Hernandez. I just want to warn you that he's going to talk about being bathed by his mother. He's going to have his genitalia out in front of you while you're sitting on your stool. He's going to have his towel and try to dry off in front of you while you're sitting at your locker. He's going to talk about gay sex. Just do your best to ignore it. Even walk away." So before I even met Aaron on a personal level, that was how I was warned about him prior to getting to my locker.
Lloyd tried to steer clear.
Maybe he's just looking for attention because he was very immature at times, more immature than a sports locker room. Because we played gay all the time. We played grab ass, flipping towels, like all the cheesy stuff that happens in.
Somewhere his old ex going, hell yeah. I did this as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've heard stuff about it during Zolak's day that involved boxes of donuts and holes.
Oh, no, there's way, 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 way worse stuff that he has from his years in Maryland.
I'm sure, but at least like Brandon Lloyd comes right out and just says, yeah, all that stuff happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's very latently gay. I mean, it's... I mean, if you were at like someone's house and they started doing that, you would be like, okay, well, this is weird.
But I guess in the confines of a locker room, this is just something that,
you know, I mean, listen, my athletic career does not stretch past senior year of high school, so I can't tell you how it got.
Sports movies where they lampoon an NFL sports locker room, it happens. But the things that he was talking about was more so. It was more graphic than us slapping each other on the ass and laughing and giggling like normally happens in a male locker room.
All right.
I mean, tell me, I mean, you go to, I probably can't say anything. All right. I was going to say something stupid.
So that, imagine that being, first of all, when I heard that, the first thing I thought was, well, Wes Welker's messing with you. Because isn't that, Wes Welker's kind of known for that, like right. Screwing with guys and kind of the jokester. And now as Brandon Lloyd goes on and continues to tell these stories, like, this wasn't a joke, what he was telling me and warning me about. Like, it's weird. Like, he would stand there and just talk to me, and it would be graphic over
right.
the top.
Is there the backstory of all this on these? On this?
Yes, we're going to. Yeah, there is. Okay. There is backstory. We will get to that. But also, Brandon Lloyd continued about the weirdness of Aaron Hernandez and things that he noticed that were different than any other player he had ever played with in the locker room.
There would be swings where he'd be the most hyper-masculine, aggressive individual in the room where he'd be ready to fight somebody in fits of rage. Or he'd be the most sensitive person in the room talking about cuddling with his mother. Or he'd ask me, do you think I'm good enough to play? So we had these moments where we did get along well. But there was also these moments where he was ready to rage out on other players in the locker room. And it was these ups and downs that were constantly happening during the year.
They were talking about red flags, and they interviewed Dane Fletcher, who was one of his good friends. They hated each other at first. They were getting fights all the time. And then there was a night where they said, you know what, I think both of them were injured. And they said, let's go down to Boston. Let's go to a club. And Dane Fletcher was like, everybody knew that Aaron Hernandez's friends were mixed up in bad stuff. So, but I didn't want to make him feel like a loser. So I said, all right, you can invite one of your friends and I'll get a limo. We'll go downtown. And he goes, the very first time I knew that something just wasn't right was that when we came out of the club, Aaron Hernandez had left like a minute or two before he did and was going to wait out in the car. When he came out, Aaron Hernandez is standing outside their limo, and inside the limo are two detectives looking around for something. And Aaron Hernandez says to Dane, man, they're looking for something. They ain't going to find it. I let them go in because they ain't going to find nothing. But, you know, we're just going to wait till they're done. Then we're going to take off.
And by the way,
Dane Fletcher's that point. All right. This is not right.
The more you read about this, and, you know, Hernandez was the best tight end in college football his junior year. And the more you read about it, and Urban Meyer is just a terrible person. But Urban Meyer is friends with Bill Belichick and was so when he was coach of Florida. People knew about Aaron Hernandez. In fact, Urban Meyer didn't want to play him to play his senior year because of the marijuana stuff. But, I mean, they knew. There's a fixer. There's a lawyer in Florida who's like a fixer. And anytime you got in trouble, this lawyer would come in. And so Florida was completely aware, and Hernandez was involved in, like,
he shattered
shootings.
A guy's eardrum at a fight during a bar
and then there was
while
like
he was there.
A shooting that they don't believe he's responsible for, but that he would have information about that was completely swept under the rug. So that was the atmosphere of Florida, and Belichick knew about all that stuff. Now, could Belichick predict that this guy was going to commit murder? No, but there was evidence of him being incredibly immature, incredibly violent.
He was off of draft boards of multiple NFL teams.
Right. So, I mean, you took a chance at someone who is, by all accounts, was someone that you would not certainly socialize with, or you certainly would not want around people that you love. And, I mean, they knew. I mean, they knew when they got him.
Well,
again, not you can't predict someone's going to do something that heinous, but they knew what they were getting.
Well, the Globos will talk to Aaron Hernandez's agent, which was not Drew Rosenhaus. It was a different guy. And he said, and this writer, after Hernandez got that huge contract extension, and he was at his house and he was saying, you know, this is great. You know, now you have power. You know, you've got all this money. He goes, power isn't about money. He goes, power is about ammo. And he pulls up, opens up his closet and, like, pulls out a gun.
Yeah, he says that several times.
Yeah.
He's not in that scenario either, but he... if you read the stories, that was not the first time that he had said something like that.
No.
So, I mean, Jesus, there was a picture of him with a gun at Florida, standing in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to joke around and think that, or not joke around, we're going to sit here and pretend that the Patriots didn't have any knowledge of any of this. I mean, they knew. And this isn't like, you know, a guy that just, oh, well, he smoked weed or, well, he had a drug problem or, you know, something like that. I mean, this is a violent individual.
So he said, sounds like the Gators had their own Saul Goodman. Yeah, from Better Call Saul. Exactly.
No, they did.
It was like a lawyer, a fixer. Yeah.
They have a fixer. Read the story. Yep. There was a guy, and he's so proud of himself, by the way, that A, he talked on the record like an idiot, and B, that they let him go into his office, and there's like everything's from Florida, and Urban Meyer has something like, you know, thanks for being part of the family. I mean, Urban Meyer encouraged Aaron Hernandez to graduate from high school a semester early so he could come to Ohio State. And when he could go to Florida, and like he was not at all emotionally prepared, and the principal of the school in Bristol knew it. And then, but he was overwhelmed with Urban Meyer and Urban Meyer's proposals. I mean, it was just, I mean, Urban Meyer should not have a job. Say what you will about the business of college football, but you're still dealing with kids. And Aaron Hernandez was 17. I mean, you're dealing with an actual child. And just awful.
Well, we have Will Brinson coming up. But after that, there is indeed, the Globe has dug, and they have an answer to what Dr. Phil wanted.
Damn. After his death, it was reported that he was gay. And you were his fiance. Was he secretly gay?
As he stares into the camera and they break. It's a big market tease.
I just like the dramatic music.
And there's a guy with like a big Tipani drum behind him.
And then they come back and she's like, no.
No. Oh, shucks. No, but the Globe found someone.
No. Well, Globe found a lot. We will have that, but first, Will Brinson in just a moment.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Snap to Mahomes, play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claymore. Moves up, fires deep downfield. And Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon. Down the left sideline, 10-5. Gone! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Unbelievable.
Now Brock moves in motion right to left with White in the backfield for Brady, who takes the snap. Backs up, fires. No, he pumps, and he moves up. He's going to run. He dives into the end zone. A touchdown for the Patriots with a flag on the play.
Got to be holding. It's got to be holding on a defense.
Brady somehow was able to pump the arm and hold on to the football and bounce off the hit. In for the score. 22.
Is this Firehouse?
No. This is that Greta Van Fleet, the Zeppelin knockoff band.
Okay. Well, that's something I'm not interested in. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. That sounded... Play that again.
They're not bad. They're letter-perfect Zeppelin ripoffs. I mean, unashamedly. Although I did hear that one of them said that he didn't listen to Zeppelin, which is ridiculous. But
does that... whose voice does that sound like?
Robert Plant.
No. Adam! Like a hair metal band.
Slaughter.
Yes.
Kind of like Flight of the Angels.
Thank you. That would have bothered me. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com, joins us every Tuesday during the NFL season. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. Mr. Brinson, hello, sir.
What's up, guys? It's a daily NFL podcast. Today we got Brady Quinn talking about whether the Chiefs or the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. Was the cover band, what was the name of the Zeppelin cover band?
Greta Van Fleet, they're called.
Okay, there's a really famous one that's like has been traveling around to like
Dread Zeppelin
fraternity. No, Zoso is the one in the South. Like literally, they've hit every fraternity house in the South over the past 20 years, and they're the biggest creeps on the planet. But man, they sound just like Led Zeppelin.
Well, it's good that the people of the South have evolved so long that they want to hear a cover band from who peaked in 1973.
Dread Zeppelin is the reggae version of yes. Zeppelin, but Elvis is the singer.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes, that is Dred Zeppelin, who has been around. All right, so what does Brady Quinn say, who is married to the old...
Sacrimony.
Sacrimony. Yep. Sacrimony. Who knocked the guy
father out. Of, father of two. Now,
he ruined
it. Yeah, right. he thinks the answer is the Patriots, and I tend to agree with him. I think we're going to start seeing, and I know some of this popped up, sort of on Monday, just as we're living in the hyperbolic, like wave of Sunday night monster game. But it's like, is this the greatest group of pass catching weapons Tom Brady's ever had? It's like, no, because Randy Moss played for the Patriots. So stop. But they had Randy Moss and Wes Welker. I mean, I think that's the answer. But this is a really, really dangerous group. Like to me, as well as the Chiefs complement each other. The pass-catching guys like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Sammy Watkins, it's even better for New England because when you look at what they have with James White and Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman and now Josh Gordon stretching the field, and they have Sony Michel who's establishing himself as one of the better young running backs in the league, I mean, this is a really loaded offense, and it makes everything that was said in September about the Patriots seem extremely stupid, as it does every year. And you do have to wonder, like, if these guys all stay healthy, who's slowing the Patriots down? Because I think that while the AFC is probably better than we thought it would be, this is sort of the league looks a little top-heavy right now. Like, there's one, two, three, four, maybe five teams that look really good, and the rest are sort of swimming that maw of parity, trying to figure out what's going on. And for the Patriots, that means what it usually means. They stack some wins early, and now they're about to go on a tear, win the division, and get a bye.
All right, so the problem with the Patriots is their defense is not good. And is there a team, as we talk about how top-heavy the league is and how short of a couple teams, no one's really out of it, is there a team that's more balanced that you think has a chance to slow them down? Because we saw the track meet Sunday night, and Jacksonville looks like fraudulent. I mean, there were a team that you could think of as being that. But is there a team in the AFC you see is more balanced, and maybe that could be an advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with the Jaguars is that the Jaguars are front runners, right? They need to be up. And if you get them down, and we saw that with the Cowboys. Like the Cowboys ran zone read plays, force the Jaguars to play zone on the back end, and then Ed Colby's, they scurry around like a tiny little squirrel, carving up their defense. And so that's one of those problems that you run into if you're Jacksonville. They need to be winning and giving the ball to Leonard Fournette, who's not healthy, instead of losing and giving the ball to Blake Bortles. And if it's the latter, they're not going to be able to win. I mean, that's just the downside of the way Jacksonville's built. I mean, certainly the Rams qualify. I would think that the Chargers, you got to put them in there too, at least, for the next 8 weeks or so until they realize that they're back in the playoff race, and then they choke in Kansas City on a December Saturday night or something like that, which is an annual tradition like no other. They've got Melvin Gordon's running the ball really well. Phillip Rivers is playing at an MVP level. I think that he and Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Goff/Gurley, and Brady are your MVP candidates right now. Keenan Allen hadn't really come alive. They could still get Hunter Henry back. Best offensive line Rivers has had since LT was there. And, they should get Joey Bosa at some point to help out that defense. So I think that the Chargers are a team you have to look out for is maybe more balanced. And then from the NFC side, of course, the Rams are fantastic. And the Vikings, if they get the running game, the offensive line figured out at all, they would have a lot of balance as well, too. But the defense has had a few problems. There aren't that many. It's hard to be good on defense in 2018, I think, is part of the problem as well.
Is that going to be just what it is now? Because I was thinking about this, and this is sort of a macro conversation. But is it going to be something where teams like aren't even draft like you're like you know how running backs are now? Like, what's the point of drafting someone high? You know, a defensive player high other than a corner. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, now that you can't hit anybody, is that what the situation we're going to be in?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So, I mean, we can, I mean, I think it's safe to assume that Bill Belichick is ahead of the curve on a lot of stuff in the NFL, right? That, I mean, you know, not just giving him the benefit of the doubt on everything, but I do wonder if the way that he's sort of attacks building this defense, and not, I don't want to say he's like ignored the defense, but I think it almost feels like he understands you can't build a dominant defense in 2018. Like, even if you have because the reality of building a dominant defense is, even if you create a good defense, you know, you're still, you know, you're not going to be very consistent year to year. Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars had an unbelievable defense last year. So did the Minnesota Vikings. And those defenses don't look great in 2018. It's much easier, I mean, both from an anecdotal perspective and just, you know, watching football, and from a statistical and analytical perspective, it is much easier to be more consistent on year to year on offense and game to game on offense than it is on defense, just because you rely on turnovers and the ball bouncing your way. So I almost wonder if Belichick hadn't sort of seen that and said, all right, we're going to be good. We're going to be good in the red zone. We're not going to worry about having this elite defense and loading up on guys. It's just 2 first-round picks on an offensive lineman and a running back. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is something to that from a macro perspective. You're better off investing in certain positions early and then, you know, finding talent and grooming talent for a few years down the road on the defensive side, because you can't just draft a bunch of young defensive guys and trot them out there in 2018. You know, you'll suffer from an opportunity cost perspective on the offensive side and probably get lit up on defense anyway.
Okay, well, so knowing what we know about what's going on with the Raiders and John Gruden and the ridiculous idea
only 9 years and $95 million left on that contract.
That Mark
you got
Davis
that right, baby.
Gave that unbelievably ridiculous contract.
Yeah, stupid.
They are now 1-5. They just got blown out by Seattle. I think they only scored 3 points.
27-3.
The entire team seems to be turning on John Gruden. He started off like crapping in the bucket when he traded Khalil Mack. That was obviously
They want a first-round pick for Amari Cooper.
They want a first-round pick. It just seems like you couldn't be more hated as a coach right now than John Gruden seems to be by his own players. Any chance that this is a one-and-done situation, even despite all of the money that they promised him?
No, zero chance. But, yeah, I mean, this is going south. By the way, Brady also pointed out, so his wife, who was a former Olympic gymnast, back when Brady played for Josh McDaniels in Denver, they did the same thing that Gruden did when they went over like 48 hours early or 48 hours before a London game. And his wife had told him, like, you're going to be a disaster when you get over there because it just wrecks your body. And this is like Gruden. I don't know if you guys saw the press conference, but before he went over there, they were like, so, you know, do you think you worried about the travel and the effect on the players? He's like, I don't travel very well. I went to Belarus for a weightlifting competition for Deuce one time, and I had vertigo for a month. And I just, you know, couldn't even walk around. It's like, okay, so you had vertigo for a month after traveling for like 12 hours. So when you decided to cross 92 time zones, you thought you just gave yourself 48 hours to prepare for the game. I mean, I can't. If I fly from like New York to L.A., I have to sleep in a hotel for 48 hours. I mean, right. I can't imagine flying to London and then 48 hours later playing a professional football game. Of course the Raiders got thrashed. Everything bad that happens with Gruden, it's almost like you can tell that he knows what his contract status is when he gets up there. He's like, well, what are you going to do? We got blown out again. Guess we're just, you know, we should get a pass rusher. You know, and it's like, dude, like, I get it. You got a $10 million a year contract. I don't think he's going anywhere, but I think he's, you know, Mark Davis knows that he's stuck with Gruden for better or for worse, and he's basically turned all the power over to Gruden, and he's blowing everything up and trying to rebuild in his image. And I think, you know, we'll see how that works out for him a year from now, but right now it's going very poorly because they don't have any defense. The quarterback, I don't know if you guys saw the stat, but it's next-gen NFL stats, but it's basically completed air yards for completion. So, like, how far did the ball travel vertically in the air for completion. Derek Carr averaged 0.1 yards on Sunday.
Yards. Well, they want to trade the receiver from
Amari
Alabama.
Cooper. Yeah.
All right.
But they want to trade a guy who's going into the final year, who's in the final year's contract, about to have a $13 million cap hit on a one-year fully guaranteed deal, who just suffered a concussion. Like, how do you get a first-round pick for that guy?
No, you're not going to.
And so
unless you're Mark Day, unless they were trading to the Raiders, yes. Then maybe you would get
Right. The Raiders are a walking disaster. I don't think it's going to get any better. There isn't a better bet than the under 8 wins on John Gruden's first year, and this is going to get ugly before it gets anything other than ugly.
All right. Will Brinson writes for CBSSports.com, and you can catch him on the Pick 6 podcast available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. Thank you so much for the time, sir, as always.
Yeah, guys. Talk next week.
All right. See you, man. So we will hear more about Aaron Hernandez, the Globe, doing a spotlight special on him, which Rich and I, and I'm sure Wallach, find very entertaining and informative, and we will hear more. We already heard Brandon Lloyd talk about the towel snapping and ass grabbing that goes on in locker rooms, but we will hear more.
We'll find an answer to...
Was he secretly gay?
And then they came back for commercial and went, nope.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He was out at the walkthrough in flip-flops, trying to run around, limping around, laughing. He was loud. And Tom keeps a serious walkthrough. And Tom says, shut the F up. What? Get the F out of here. You know? In this particular walkthrough, he's been calling Bill Belichick daddy. He's addressed him as daddy since the season began. So Tom, you know, has kicked him out of a practice. But see, it's these moments where it was like he went from this childlike, laughing, disruptive behavior, calling Bill Belichick daddy, and then he storms off in a fit of rage.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That's Brandon Lloyd talking about Aaron Hernandez. The Globe doing a spotlight feature on Hernandez right now. You learn about his upbringing, the house where he was physically beaten. He was sexually molested as a child. You learn that Urban Meyer sort of preyed on him and got him to leave high school before he was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Then you learn about how there's a fixer at the University of Florida who makes everyone's problems go away, and that Urban Meyer was afraid that Hernandez would get popped for smoking weed, and so he basically made him leave after his junior year. And Aaron Hernandez also saying he played high every game of his life, basically.
Think about that fixer and how busy he must have been. When you look at the roster of people that went to Florida and how after they left, the amount of trouble that many of those guys got into with the law. I mean, that must be one of the more thankless, you're not sleeping any hours of the day jobs out there.
Oh, it's not thankless because, you know, you get stuff like a welcome, your nice member of the family autographed picture by Urban Meyer. I mean, these guys are these boosters that are completely in love with the football program. And just being able to help and being able to help them succeed is all they need.
Mm-hmm.
That so it is not thankless. It is exactly why they do that. It's weird, and I don't get it.
I guess publicly thankless, like you don't get credit for that amongst the public.
No, I mean, well, you shouldn't. They shouldn't know about it.
Yeah,
of course, it's a secret thing. But that dummy allowed them to take photos of him and interview him.
Yeah.
He's there in his office like a loser with the stupid Florida crap everywhere.
Well,
as if that's something to be proud of.
the people at the Globe, they dug deep and they interviewed people that had not been interviewed and spoken to before, got him on record, got recordings of him. And, you know, as you said, you know, Aaron Hernandez had a pretty effed up life, but this is the voice of Aaron Hernandez's brother, Jonathan. And they interviewed Jonathan and asked about some of the rumors that were going on around Aaron Hernandez, at least after all this was done and over with. And here is his brother talking about kind of the relationship between Aaron and his father and when maybe there might have been the birth of some of these rumors.
It wasn't always clear that Aaron would play football.
When he was extremely young, he wasn't necessarily always interested in sports.
At first, he didn't seem drawn to the game that meant so much to his father. In fact,
he wanted to be a cheerleader. My cousins were cheerleaders. I remember coming home and my dad put an end to that really quick. It was not okay. And my dad made it clear that he had his definition of a man.
Like, his dad, they said, was like, he hated gay people. Like, every time, like, someone would stand a certain way or would say a certain word or whatever, it was like, you are not going to act like an F word. And if you do that again, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, like, you know, there was all this talk. And that was something that he was very, he hated gay people. And so Aaron Hernandez ended up having this friend all throughout high school. It was his best friend, Dennis. And they played football together for all these years. As a matter of fact, there was a story where Dennis's father and Aaron Hernandez's dad kind of got in a fight on the football field one time, yelling at each other about some call or whatever it was made.
Right, because the quarterback's dad was the coach and Aaron Hernandez's father did not care for it.
Yeah, so
he was a custodian.
Mm-hmm, yep, that's right. So these two, Dennis and...
otherwise known as janitor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were directing, if you're talking to a janitor, my advice would be to call them a custodian.
So here is Dennis... Aaron Hernandez's best friend in high school, and Dennis's father speaking about the moment they found out that Aaron Hernandez had killed himself and the awkward conversation that happened afterwards.
As part of the reporting of the article that day, they said that Aaron had written three letters or a couple of letters, and that one of them was to his gay lover in prison. And my first reaction was that this can't even be true, that this has to be fake news.
So is this the guy's dad?
This is the father. This is Dennis's father.
All right.
Fake news, you know.
Tim Sansusi was right in a way. No such letter has ever come to light. But the news about a possible gay lover in prison started a conversation between father and son. Dennis revealed to his dad that his relationship with Aaron had also been sexual.
But it was never a thing like that. You're with me, I'm with you. We lived our own lives. We were homies.
He says he and Aaron closely guarded their secret, especially from their dads.
We didn't want people to know. And that's why it's hard for me to come out today and do this. But
before we talked to him, Dennis had never spoken publicly about this. But he says he feels like Aaron would want him to do this.
I really, truly feel in my heart I got the thumbs up from him. So what anyone else says, I just don't give a damn. Back in the day, he was frowned upon, still in society, got a negative stigmatism. We were all good athletes who liked women. No hesitation about that. So yeah, it's a lot to overcome. And that's why I say it was a trickle-down effect into the Marine Corps. That's like now a man's group and... You're trying to hide something just like Aaron was. You know, all the tattoos, that stuff, that didn't seem like Aaron to me. I have tattoos too, but he wasn't someone who seemed like he was going down the road of getting all those tattoos. But I realized, as someone who's bisexual now too, he had to go different routes to try and show his authority because Aaron was an alpha and Aaron got what he wanted in life. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
It went into this description about how his father dealt with it. And he said, you know, if I would have known, like he said, I knew Aaron's dad. And Aaron's dad, it's the definition of rolling over in his grave right now. He would have absolutely hated his son if he would have found out that he was gay because of all of this.
Not only gay.
Well, I mean, not only gay, but...
Was he secretly gay?
Apparently he was, and that has been confirmed.
Take that, Dr. Phil.
So take that. But I felt it was weird. I mean, the kind of environment that those two were growing up in, the dad of Dennis who came out, the one whose first voice you heard, he goes, you know, when they were kids, I remember buying that poster with the girls in the string bikinis on rollerblades that we would put in their room, and I just covered their room's walls with posters of you know, hot women because I thought that they would go to sleep and that would be the last thing that they would see, and they would definitely be heterosexuals.
That's like, I mean, a good plan.
But that, but that's what. But
you know, I'm genetically engineered.
This
here
is the way I'm born
to be sexually attracted to men. But I'll tell you this: is that by putting these scantily clad females around,
all of a sudden it's going to completely change my chemistry. And whoa! All of a sudden I'm straight.
Check them out.
But that, but that's what. But that's the kind of mentality.
Well, they're very obviously.
Which is just, I mean, unbelievable.
So the idea was, what? Okay, so I didn't hear this part. So the idea was that the father was concerned he might be gay?
Okay, so no.
So he just did it out
he
of...
He did it, well, I think that there was a concern amongst both of the fathers that no matter what, it wasn't because of any behaviors, that I don't want my kid to be gay.
Okay.
Gay is the worst thing you can be, and to make sure I cut it off at the pass, in case there's any hint of my kid being gay, I'm putting chicks all over the wall.
So you're saying if that I was growing up and you put penises all over the wall,
all of a sudden you just would just...
I would become gay.
You would go gay. Okay. Yeah, because that's how it works, apparently.
Well, very good. That's... Hey, what could go wrong?
I mean, can you imagine that? Just that mentality and growing up around that.
Yeah.
Well, ooh, I mean, don't get too close. They'll give you a case of the gays.
Well, yeah, it's really stupid. I mean, it's dumb.
And by the way, and the father ended up like saying, I was so wrong about everything. Sure. And, you know, I mean, right. He obviously doesn't think that way as much anymore. You're right. But hey, listen, the Globe got what Dr. Phil couldn't get, and that was
he secretly gay?
Up and then the two drums. So they found out before Phil cut.
Yeah, and the Patriots, by the way, not, I don't even know about the gay stuff. They probably, I don't know if it matters. Probably not at all. That's certainly not a, wouldn't be a concern of mine if I was drafting a player, but they did know, especially with Belichick's relationship with Urban Meyer, and the reason he fell to the fourth round is because people knew about him. And they had to know there was a fixer at University of Florida, and they were aware of the picture of him with the gun, and they were aware of the allegations of violence, and they are not stupid enough to think that just because he wasn't ultimately charged that there was nothing there. So, you know, and if Wes Welker said, hey, or if he's in flip-flops at walkthroughs and things, acting like all crazy,
yeah.
I mean, the Patriots are complicit in that they gave this guy money. I mean, obviously they didn't think he was going to become a murderer.
But there was another side of it, too, that Greg Bedard was being interviewed, and he said, but here's also a guy that after some of the preseason workouts, like the staff would come out with their kids, and Aaron Hernandez would be playing with these kids and being like a great guy. And he goes, so like the staff trusted their kids around him because he was able to put up this face that he was just a normal, sweet guy, but then there was this dark side to him that came out only to certain people.
Okay, but they were, well, it came out,
well, it
with
came
the
out
police.
With the police in Florida. Yeah, now that part you're absolutely right about.
So if I am aware of all this stuff, it can't shock me if this guy ends up breaking the law.
I can understand what the Patriots were probably thinking, and that is, okay, well, he was a, you know, he went through some tough times, but now he's a father, he just had a kid, he's seeing the light, he's saying all the right things in front of us. And
Robert Kraft loved him. Remember that when he signed his contract extension.
Of course. Yeah, there was that conversation, you know, that you heard them say. It's like, you know, I look at him as like a dad and all this stuff.
Well, he looked at everyone. He wanted desperately for a father figure. I mean, he was looking for everyone to be a dad. I mean, obviously, that's something that you would emotionally want if you had an abusive father that died young.
Somebody said new TV show, Postered Straight.
That should be.
Just take, you know, anyone who's like a homosexual and then put posters all over the wall of hot chicks and just see how long it takes for them to become straight.
Rich, now you're being silly. It can't be while they're already adults.
It
has to be
young.
While they're adolescents.
Right, when they're figuring things out according to the logic in this story.
That's what you need to do. Is that that's one of the dumber things I've ever heard in my life.
But I wonder how many people hold that belief.
Oh, plenty.
I grew up around a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many people? Oh, 75%?
Yeah, more than there should be.
It's
lots
true.
More.
It really, sadly, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, people are very freaked out about people being gay, even though it has no effect on their lives or anything to do with them. They are very
threatened.
They're very upset about it. They're very, very upset. All right, we will be right back, and then we'll tell you how tomorrow morning you could get a dream come true, which sadly I don't think that I could achieve because I don't think I have enough friends. All right. So we will be back in just a moment. Tucker and Rich.